I'd like to turn to Judges, the 7th chapter. Begin reading in the 16th verse. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes and the tribe of Judah. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong book. What did I say, Joshua? I want Judges. I want Judges, the seventh chapter, beginning in the 16th verse. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets, brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled, and the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah in Zarephath to the border of Abel Meholah unto Tabor. So we have here a little glimpse of the contest between the Israelites and the Midianites, where Gideon we know how he got to this place. I believe all of us are familiar with that story. To where he had 300 men against, someone can help me here, I think it was well over 100,000 Midianites. Incredible odds. And the Lord delivered the enemy into their hands.
Yeah.
Now, I thoroughly enjoy and relish the outcome of this battle. And I'm so thankful that we have this story in the Scripture. My message tonight is about swords. And I'd like to go back here and notice that it says here that they cried, in the 20th verse it says, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I'd like to propose to you that he's talking about two different swords. There's two swords here. One of them is the sword of the Lord. And I'd like to identify that briefly, because I think we're comfortable with what the sword of the Lord is. But I'd like to turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and notice what it says, I believe, in the 17th verse. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we find also in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, that it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I believe tonight that the Word of God is able to discern the very thoughts and intents of our heart. Yeah. I believe He knows your motives. I believe He knows why you respond to circumstances the way you do. I believe that He is interested
in the word being applied to our everyday lives. Amen. And I believe that we have heard the word in this meeting, and it has touched our hearts. It has touched our lives. Well, I'm interested tonight in examining the sword of Gideon.
Yes.
So I'd like for us to think just a little bit about what makes a sword. And one sword in particular is a sword that's associated with maybe we would say ancient Japanese warriors. It's called a samurai sword. Am I saying that right? Anybody know what one of the outstanding features goes into making a samurai sword? They take a piece of steel that they're going to make the blade out of, and they hammer it out until it's incredibly thin, and they fold it over till it's about the same size they started with, and they hammer it out again, and they fold it over, and they hammer it out again, and you don't really have a true samurai sword unless it's been hammered out and folded over at least 40 times. And if you ever look at the blade of one of those swords, the finish of the metal has kind of a marbled look to it. You ever notice that? And what produces that is all of those hammer blows of flattening out that steel and maybe making it kind of paper thin and then getting it folded over and hammered out again. And some swords may have been hammered out and folded over and hammered out as many as 100 times. And they do that to... I don't profess to understand it all, but they do that to increase the integrity of the blade. It's not a big, heavy blade. It's a thinner, more agile weapon. It's something that's used for very fast movements. It's not something that you would use to maybe chop something heavy off, but it's a very effective weapon in the hands of a skilled operator. One of the tests of a samurai sword is that it's not really passed the test unless someone that is proficient in using that can use that sword to step aside and cut an arrow in two that shot at it. Now you think about that. That's a pretty impressive blade, isn't it? If somebody shot an arrow and you was able to sidestep it and cut that arrow in half with your sword, that'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it? Well, now let's think about Gideon's sword a little bit. And I want to tell you tonight, as we get started with our little thought, that I believe that God has intentions for us to be victorious in battle. And I believe that He would like to be able to cause us... God give Gideon the instructions to issue this decree of what to say when they shouted. He would like for us to be able to say, the sword of the Lord and whatever your name is. When you are facing the difficulties in life, I believe that this sword of the Lord, when it is used in conjunction with this other sword, is very effective in the things that come our way. And I'm thinking about being hammered and flattened out. I'm thinking of the things that made Gideon to be able to be in a place where his men could say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So I'd like to go back in Judges chapter 6. And I would like to look at verse 11 and verse 12. And it says, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The Midianites were oppressing the Israelites. The Israelites were under the Midianites' control, and you can read up above that and find that the Midianites had came in mass and were overrunning the place, and they were taking the produce and the crops and all of their provisions, and the people of Israel were starving because of all of the raids of the Midianites. And he said here, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now notice he was threshing in the dark. And the reason he was doing that is so that possibly he could get some provision for his household before it was snatched away from him by those that were oppressing the Israelites. And it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The first instance that we have of any reference of his character is thou mighty man of valor. Now, I don't know what Gideon's character was up until this point, and I'm not sure if we have other accounts of what kind of man he was and what he had been through in life, but here we have an angel of the Lord saying, thou mighty man of valor. So I believe that's an assessment that he had proved himself faithful in times of test and trial in the past. So you would think someone that is proclaimed a mighty man of valor would be able to go, especially if an angel spoke to you and said that. You would think that that would be enough to motivate you to be able to face quite an obstacle, wouldn't you? But I'd like for us to go down and notice verse 27 of the 6th chapter. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So let's go back and read what the Lord told him to do. Let's back up a couple verses in the 25th verse. He says, and it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Now the people had fell into worshiping Baal, and this is the reason they had got in trouble with the Lord, and why the Midianites had been able to overpower them. The angel had come to Gideon and said, thou mighty man of valor. Now this sounds like somebody that would cut down a grove in the daylight, doesn't it? But Gideon was intimidated by the circumstances that was around about him. And he felt hammered and pressed. And he was, in himself, he was not this courageous person. He says he took 10 men, but he went by night, because he was apprehensive of what might be thought of him, or what kind of interception he might have got if he tried to do it in the daylight. So he went at night, cut down the grove, tore down this altar of Baal, and he built an altar to the Lord and sacrificed one of those bullocks that was reserved for idolatrous purposes. And don't you know that he felt kind of hammered out by that? We all face things in life, and we know that it's something that we're going to have to rise above for ourselves. There are things that we are faced with, and it's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to address this. I don't want to face this head on. I don't want to cut that grove down. What's all of my family going to say to me? That was very real to him. This was his father's grove. I don't want to do this because of what the community is going to say. Have you ever been in those positions that you realize that you made a mistake, and the only way to do it, to really rise above it, is go back and say, you know, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have acted the way I did. And it don't look pretty. It looks like that you're going to look like the most biggest ignoramus there ever was. It's going to look like that your whole reputation and everything that you have accumulated as far as a respect for your character is going to get thrown out the window. I never thought that you would have done that. And maybe they say that to you. But here, Gideon was faced with something to do for the cause of God. And he approached it the best way that he knew how. I believe that he felt the pressure of the situation. And I know that you feel pressure in life. I know that you feel like that you're under scrutiny many times. I like to go on. I think this is maybe one time that his sword got hammered out and folded over. I'd like to go to verse 37, maybe starting in 36. It says, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I'll put a fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." So, God has given him a job, a decree, a command, and he said, "I need to make sure. I'm under pressure. Have you ever been there? Realize that there is something that maybe you need to address, and the whole thing looks intimidating. And I want to make sure. I don't want to go out here and make a terrible mistake in my life." Can you imagine what it was like to face the hordes of Midianites that were coming into the land? One verse here, I believe in the 6th chapter, says it was like there were grasshoppers coming in. Just as thick as they could be. Just everywhere you turned, there was a Midianite. And he was taking the corn, and he was taking livestock, and they were stripping the land. So, the fleece, it happened just like Gideon asked. And we skip on down in the 39th verse, and we find, "And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry, only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let it there be dew." And God done that too, didn't he?
Yeah.
There's another time. He didn't know what to do. The angel had said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And we think somebody is a mighty man of valor. We think, well, they wouldn't double guess themselves like this. But he was very apprehensive, and he was wanting the Lord. I want to make sure that I'm in the position that I need to be in. So he got hammered out again. He got folded over again. We'll go over in the maybe the 7th chapter. Begin reading in the first verse. "Then Jerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side by them, by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand has saved me." Maybe we'll skip through this. We know what happened. He started out with 32,000 men and ended up with 300. And the 7th verse says, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man into his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his unto his tent. And he retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Now, if you had any kind of idea of how many Midianites there were, and realized that there was probably at least 5 to 1, and then the Lord told you there was too many of you, and you had too much on your side, don't you know that you would feel kind of hammered out if the Lord said, you got too many? We need to send some of these folks home. Some of them are scared, and some of them don't know how to hold their weapons and drink at the same time. So he was under pressure again. There's a battle ahead. There's something I'm facing, and yet I feel like the very thing that I need is more men. And I'm being handicapped. Have you ever been put in a position where the things that you were trying to accomplish were hindered by what you had on hand? If you go to a place that you don't have your tools with you, and somebody says, well, can't you fix that? And you say, well, I don't have any of my tools. I'm handicapped. There's not a whole lot I can do. And then you try to go ahead and attempt to do something, and you're working under this handicap, and it's agitating to us, and you feel like you're under this pressure to try to produce or perform, and yet there's this restriction on you. You know, I feel like that Gideon was feeling even more pressure than the idea of even facing the Midianites. He went from the possibility of the Lord asking him to face the Midianites to now he was facing the Midianites with very, very limited resources. His ability to wage any kind of attack on the Midianites was, it was ridiculous. He knew in his own mind, if the Midianites had any idea that I only have 300 men, they'd be over here in a flash. So he was feeling the pressure and the impossibility of the circumstances. Now, we've read the whole story and we know how it turned out, but Gideon didn't know that yet. And he was feeling being pounded out and folded over and pounded out and folded over by the circumstances that he was facing. And if we go on down a little more in the 9th verse, and it says that it came to pass the same night that the Lord, and remember, he's just got 300 men. Now, they're not afraid, and that's very important. And they're also willing to take care of a drink or necessities of life and not lay their weapons down. They're prepared. Now, these are the cream of the crop when it comes to soldiers. But he's only got 300. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise and get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Well, that sounds good. But the reality is they're still down there. And they're living and breathing. And he says, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. Now this is the mighty man of valor. You would think he done sent 22,000 or however many was home because they were afraid, and he was the leader. So you would think that surely Gideon is not afraid. But he says, if you're afraid, take your servant with you. But he says, I want you to go down to that camp tonight. He had something he wanted him to hear.
Yes.
But you know, can you picture this situation and the pressure and the pounding that he was feeling about what the future would hold? So, do you think he took his servant with him? This is a mighty man of valor. 10th verse says, but if you fear, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down to the host. Then he went down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it, and it fell, and it overturned the tent, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon. He said, It's the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for under his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. We've heard some about the Lord going before us and working in ways that we can't work. And the Lord had begun to work in the minds of these Midianites, the enemies that had control over the Israelites, that was robbing them blind, that was taking all of their sustenance. And God was working in their minds. He was planting doubts. He was planting fears. He was planting all kinds, planting these things in their heads. And when Gideon come down, he heard one man telling another the dream, and the other one he just interpreted. He just knew exactly that's the sword of Gideon. Well, we know how it happened. We've done read the end. We know that the Midianites fell. Gideon's sword, when it came time for battle, had already been hammered out and folded over, hammered out and folded over the minimum number of required times. It had already cut the arrow in two that was in flight. It was ready because Gideon had responded to God's call. You know, that was a real test for him to go and destroy the altar of Baal and cut down the grove. But that was part of the preparation of his sword to be able to take the battle to the Midianites. It was just part of it. And I stand here before you tonight knowing that as I look over the past, I see those that came to their battles and their swords were ready for use.
Yes.
They were ready for the battle that they faced, and they come out victorious. I see those that have stood on these grounds, those that are our parents and our spiritual ancestors. And they fought their battles in this life, and they fought their battles at the end of life.
Yeah.
And went out of this life victorious.
Lord.
I've watched my parents fight that last battle, and their sword was ready. It had been hammered out and folded over, and hammered out and folded over.
Right.
And when the time came to put it to use, it worked. And it was the sword of the Lord and my parents. And many of your parents, when they came down to that crossing, their sword had been hammered out and folded over by the tests and the trials of life. It had been hammered out, and the surface of it had the distinguishing characteristics of being faced with the difficulties and calamities of life. And it had been hammered out and shaped and molded into something that would overcome that last battle. And they have made the statements of, I want to be true to God to the very end. And their sword took them out with victory in their spirits. But I think tonight that many times God would like for us to be prepared for battle. That's not a battle at the end of our life with death. I believe that there's battles and victories that the Lord would like to give for us.
Yes,
to us. While we're still in our prime. Gideon didn't die in that battle. He lived afterwards. He was used of the Lord after that. It wasn't the last fight, and he went out. You know, it's a marvelous victory to go out of this life with victory in your soul. And I'm so thankful for those that have come to a place that they could have that victory, even if they've had an up and down experience or a deathbed conversion. I'm very thankful for that. But I want to raise the mark here a little bit tonight and tell you that I believe God wants to give us victory in the battles that we face while we're in the prime of our life. And I'm going to tell you that it's only by faith that I'm getting a hold of this, because the enemy wants to plant all kinds of doubts and fears and speculations in my mind. He wants me to be apprehensive. He wants me to be in the places just like Gideon was, where when God told him to do something, he was intimidated about doing it in the daylight, and he did it in the dark. And I know that the enemy wants to intimidate us when it comes to facing these kind of battles, and the Lord is going to be right there to tell us to go back to His sword.
Yes.
And see what it says. Just like Gideon went down and heard someone telling a dream and giving an interpretation. I believe tonight with all of my heart that the Lord wants to give us those victories.
Yes.
In our life. And they're not going to come with something that hasn't been hammered out and folded over. It's not going to happen. You take a piece of raw steel. I'll tell you something I made one time. I didn't know anything about samurai swords at that time. But I made my mother-in-law a Christmas present one time. I made her a butcher knife out of a bumper carrier bolt. And I hammered on it, got it kind of in shape, and I filed on it, and I made a handle, and she kept that like it was a prized possession. But it wasn't anywhere, it hadn't been hammered, it hadn't been folded over, it wasn't the right kind of steel, it was just made out of a bolt. It was a pretty good bolt, but it wasn't a pretty hard bolt, but it wasn't a samurai sword. And I'm sure that if you'd have tried to chop an arrow into with it while somebody is shooting it past you, you would have missed. And if you would have hit it, it probably bounced off. It probably wouldn't have been sharp enough or quick enough. It was a heavy blade. When we come to know the Lord and we begin our walk with Him, I believe that we are qualified to be His child. And I believe we're qualified to enter heaven. But many of us have the opportunity to live for the Lord a number of years before we meet that final test. And during that, we're going to face some things. We're going to face things that looks like the battle with the Midianites. We're going to face some things that if we had all of our assets together and everything that we could call in to reinforce us, it still would be a situation where we'd be outnumbered. And they were grossly outnumbered. And then it seems like in the very midst of those kind of confrontations, circumstances, and maybe even the Lord wants us to make sure that we're leaning on Him.
Yes.
Things start getting pulled out from under us. And our sword gets hammered out some more. And it just as it's hammered out more and we feel none of us like to be hammered on. And none of us like to be folded over and hammered on some more. We don't like that. I don't like that. But I'm going to tell you there is a time of proving and testing. And if you could only picture in your mind one of these swords and the one that is using it being able to swiftly move that sword and chop that arrow. If you can only get that picture in your mind and the strength and the agility of that kind of blade. The Lord wants us to be in a place that He can use us in battles
Amen.
With Midianites in our time that we live in. So I'd like to look at a few verses that apply to you and I today. I'd like to turn to James, the first chapter. James chapter 1. Reading in verse 1, it says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So if you'll let me, I'll say that this is addressed to all of us. It's addressed to the church. It was addressed to all of Israel, all of the Jews. By the grace of God, we're spiritual Jews today. He's addressing this to every one of us that have a profession of salvation tonight. He says, a servant of God of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. How many is divers? That's a lot. And it's all kinds. It might be a temptation to gratify yourself. And it might be a temptation to justify yourself. And it might be a temptation to take advantage of a situation for monetary gain. And it might be, you name it, it's included in divers temptations. He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Lord.
Wanting nothing means that you're fully prepared.
Yeah.
It means that you're able to be relied on with the sword of the Lord. You remember the cry at the time of battle was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. This sword of Gideon had been tested. It had been through tests. It had been through trials. It had been proven. It had been hammered out by things that led up to this battle.
Yeah.
And I believe that the strength of our swords and the strength of our characters has the ability to increase and accumulate as time goes on.
Yeah.
There's always the other option. The other option is to be spoiled like the clay in the potter's hand. That's the other option. But with the help of the Lord, Gideon was able not only to tear down the grove and build a sacrifice to the Lord, but he was able to be prepared to overcome the Midianites.
Yeah.
And by that story, I'm taking of courage that the Lord will help me overcome the Midianites that I come up against. And I believe that the Lord will help you in whatever the Midianite situation is in your life.
Yes, Lord.
And right during the time that we're coming up to that battle, there are many times that we're afraid. Just like Gideon was.
Yeah.
And he had his servant go down with him to listen and to hear what God wanted him to hear. And there are many times that we're going to face circumstances in life where it looks totally hopeless. And I'm going to tell you, if you sent me with 300 of the best men that you could find, whether they were Marines or Navy SEALs or whatever, and you sent me out against 150,000 of the enemy that had already been overpowering us, I'm going to tell you, I'd be afraid. And it'd have to be the Lord that would reveal the plan, especially when He told me to take pitchers and torches and trumpets. They didn't even, I'm sure they had swords on them, but they had both hands full. They didn't even have their sword out, their literal sword. But this sword of the Lord was talking about something more than that thing that was hanging in their waistband. It was something more than that.
Yeah.
And the New Testament writer here says, count it all joy. And that's hard. It's hard for me to count it joy when I fall into temptation. It's been hard for me to count it joy when things have went opposite to my plan and has opposed me in accumulating the approval of those on my workforce in the place that I work. Maybe I'll say this here, but in my line of work, fixing cars, I've had lots of challenges. And there's been times that I feel that I've been just hammered out. I remember one time, I'll tell you my first job. I showed up on the job. I was 19 years old. And they told me within the first week that other mechanic over there, he wouldn't work on diesels, he wouldn't work on automatic transmissions, and he wouldn't touch a Corvette. Well, I was savvy enough to figure out that if I want to make sure that I have work to do, that I need to make sure I fix stuff or work on stuff that he won't work on. I mean, that's pretty logical, right? Well, over the course of the last almost 30 years, fixing automatic transmissions has been like making a samurai sword sometimes. And while I was working there one time, I had one out 5 times. Now, the second time is bad enough, but 5 times, that's getting kind of ridiculous. And by the time you have a car that leaves the shop and comes back the next day or the next week, and here it is again, Dan. It won't back up this time. Or it's leaking this time. I'm going to tell you, you start feeling pretty hammered out. And the more you get hammered out, and the more, you know, sometimes you feel like on the job you're a glutton for punishment. But you know, that's just a temporal thing. It's just my occupation. You know, the Lord has helped me to really gain some knowledge and some understanding and some techniques in those kind of things. But I still face, every once in a while, I miss something. And here I go doing it again. And you get hammered out a little bit more. You know, we have choices when we face those. There's times that you're tempted to go see if they need a sacker at the grocery store or a greeter at Walmart or something like that. But what would happen to my sword on the job? When you do something for 30 years, somebody's going to be, you have a constant barrage of somebody coming by, hey, what can you tell me about this? Or how does this work? Or it's constantly. And I wouldn't, you don't ask the sacker, now how do you put the sugar in? You don't do that, do you? But see, I've developed a sword in these things. Just a temporal thing in my occupation. But the Lord wants us to look on these seemingly failures. He wants us to look on these tests and these temptations with joy. Why? Because He wants us to be able to develop a sword. I think about the sword that Eliezer's hand was... What does it say about that? You remember that? What's that? It was cleaved to the sword. It wouldn't come off. And he was in a battle, was he not? Yeah. And there is so much strength and so much power in those words talking about Eliezer defending the property and the territory of the Israelites. And the Lord needs Eliezer and Gideon today. He doesn't need grocery sackers. Although if that's your part-time job or your full-time job, it's okay. But the Lord needs spiritual Gideon. He needs spiritual Eliezer that's able to have that kind of sword that's been tested and proved and hammered out and folded over by the temptations and the trials and tests of life. Folks, there's battles out there to win. There's not just a bunch of battles to run from. There's not battles that we ought to just close the doors and hang out the for sale sign. I believe the Lord wants the people around us to realize the power of the gospel and living for God. And I believe He wants us to be an example and be able to rise above the battles that we're facing in our everyday life. I'd like to move on to Romans, the 12th chapter. And notice the first two verses here. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Gideon could have been conformed to worshiping Baal. But somehow he wasn't, because the angel came to him and identified him as a mighty man of valor. And then he went through some more tests and more proving grounds before he was able to be victorious in the battle with the Midianites. And he says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, don't be shaped by the things that surround us, the circumstances, the battles that we come in contact with. Don't be shaped by that. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to tell you, if you're facing the Midianites today in your life, you're going to have your mind renewed to be able to face that battle. It is so tempting to be transformed by your circumstances and suppressed and cowed down and give in. It's so easy to do that. But by the grace of God, we can have our minds renewed. Don't you know that when Gideon went down and he heard that dream being related and he heard the explanation by the other Midianites about what that dream meant, don't you know his mind was renewed? He went down there thinking, failure, failure. The Midianites are going to gobble us up tomorrow. He had that going through his mind, whether he really believed it. He was thinking, this is a possibility. We've got to just be realistic here. And he got down there and he heard that dream and the explanation. I believe his mind, instead of being conformed by the circumstances, was renewed. May the Lord help me tonight. That my mind will be renewed. And I'll be able to face the Midianites that come into my territory. I'd like to turn over to the 8th chapter of Romans. The 8th chapter of Romans. Read a passage of Scripture to you tonight. Very close to my heart. Beginning in verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That's the sword of the enemy. As it is written, for thy name's sake, we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And I'd like to read the 13th verse now. It says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You want to know how to have your sword hammered out, folded over, and be prepared for battle? The 13th verse is the key. If we do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You're going to have some victory there if we'll mortify the deeds and the appetites of the body. He says here, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. I don't know this for a fact, but I just had this picture of Gideon coming out of this battle, and I see these 300 men coming out of this battle without even a scratch on them. More than a conqueror. It means you don't have any wounds. You don't have any injuries. You don't have any hang-ups and hiccups. You don't have this distorted perspective on life. I believe that we can face these Midianites. I don't know who the Midianites are in your life. I don't know what the circumstances are that's brought the Midianites into your territory. But I want to tell you by the grace of God, if we will allow the deeds of our body to be mortified and put to death, and we'll get in the place to allow the Lord to the circumstances to hammer us out and fold us over and make us into a sword that He can use with His Word. I believe the Lord can bring us out into a wealthy place. He says here, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, through Jesus Christ, that makes us able to rise above these things." He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." These are the things that look like they're looming on the horizon, the things that look like they're going to destroy our peace, it's going to crush us and make us feel miserable for the rest of our life and reduce our possibilities of happiness to zero. All of these things, he says, "I'm persuaded that none of these things, even the things that's to come, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is no battle out there worth throwing in the towel on your salvation. There's nothing out there worth that. And the enemy wants to come along at every little bump in the road and say, "It's not working." Every little trial that you come to, he wants to say, "I'd give up if I was you."
Yeah.
This is a hopeless cause. You can't be victorious and go this way. It's all drudgery and smuck and everything else. No, that's a lie. That's a death. In all these things, we can be more than conquerors. We can rise above it. We can sway the Midianites. These people, the Midianites begin to fight amongst themselves and self-destruct right in front of the people. And all they were doing were blowing the horn, the trumpets, and holding up the torches. And it seemed like they would pull the trumpets down maybe and shout again, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So I wonder tonight, how's our swords? Ever been hammered out? That seems pretty hopeless. Hammered out to where you're all flimsy and without any shape and don't have anything really to be recognizable, just hammered plumb out smooth. Well, I think Gideon felt that way. And I'd venture to say that if you're determined to be true to the Lord, you've had times where you felt hammered out too. But let Him fold you over and hammer you out some more. I'd like to turn to Job and read one last verse for us. Job, the 23rd chapter. Job chapter 23. In verse 10. Job says, "But He, God, knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I would like for every one of us here to leave this time here tonight with the perspective that the Midianite that you're facing is conquerable with the sword of the Lord and with His help. And that you're willing to be used of the Lord to fight those Midianites. You know, Gideon had to be willing to be used of the Lord. If he hadn't have been willing, the men couldn't have cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." I believe that every one of our names can be attached with the sword of the Lord tonight. if you'll let it. If you allow yourself to be hammered out by the trials and tests of life and come through faithful. The world has a phrase that they use sometimes about people that are confronted with things that don't go their way. And things that don't fall into place like they intended for it to do. And that phrase that the world has out there, and maybe I'm old enough that this phrase is obsolete now. Y'all have to help me out. But there was a time when some things didn't go the way they wanted to. Somebody would say they copped an attitude. You know, we can cop an attitude. When things aren't working out the way we want, we can cop all kinds of attitude.
Yeah.
We can adopt something that manifests itself that we're resisting being hammered out. That we're resisting being folded over. That we're resisting the very thing that will strengthen us and make us to be compatible with the sword of the Lord. I desire your prayers because I realize that there's Midianites out there. And there is only one way to overcome them. And that's with the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And I want to be willing to be used of the Lord, but I don't want to go in my own strength. And I don't want any of us to go in our own strength, but trust our thoughts will be discernible tonight. We pray for you.